Because and this is the perfect practice. And this is the perfect way for the word faith practitioner to continue the scam and still get money even when money's tight, because the donations aren't coming in like they used to.
Right.
Nobody has disposable income.
Right.
So now you got to talk people out of your houses.
Yes.
So that you can fund him.
And then Fred Price Jr. is going to get a cut of that. And wait a minute. Fred Price Sr. retires as the apostle because he's made his millions, turned the building over to his children. Now he says, now you can continue to dupe those same ignorant, stupid behind people that's going to do anything you tell them because they believe that we're anointed. And that's why when you come to my website, you see me standing that little punk down. And he couldn't even look at me. They are weak and impotent. They are nothing. His son is nothing. He just has hundreds and thousands of dollars, and he'll be a millionaire like his daddy if we keep funding him. This is the bottom line. And you know what? Fred Price doesn't bother me. It's the people that are sitting there that only are living Christianity in theory
and not practice.
And not in practice. Now, Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Then he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Man, I've had people sit in this booth with me prophesying. It's called prophelying. I've had people in ministries, two and three ministries with me. Yes, Pastor John, you're this and you're that. Next thing you know, took an about face. Wait a minute, look at what Jesus said. He said, didn't we cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? These are the words of Jesus. Jesus knows what they're going to say in this church age. And then Jesus said, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Now, wait a minute. See, I wouldn't play being a Christian. When Jesus talks to me and he says, John, you will do a webcast every day. There's a lot of people that need to hear all this stuff that I put in your mind about me and God and truth. Now, I can't let anything interfere with that. But let's go back to our main text. Okay, go ahead.
I love this a little bit when you go, I love all of it, but verse 24, when it continues,
yeah.
I love how the scripture always dovetails. That it always is in line with itself.
Okay.
The internal accuracy of the word, where you can look at one scripture and you find other scriptures that exactly dovetail and it doesn't contradict.
Right.
Well, verse 24.
Contradicts.
So therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. So here we go with hearers. And doers.
Yes.
that's the qualification for heaven.
Right.
It's not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And when you go back to, as I was talking before, about the false teachers,
yes.
Not only are they deceiving people,
yes.
But they are self-deceived. There you get that text from 2 Timothy 3:13.
Yes.
Evil men and seducers in the last days, they're talking about here,
right.
Shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Right.
So you have to feel somewhat sorry for a Rick Warren who deceives a lot of people, or a Fred Price, or a Creflo, or a Osteen. You have to feel somewhat sorry for them in spite of the fact that they are duping and deceiving, and they know that they're deceiving people, but because they are also deceiving themselves. And a lot of these people think they're doing a good thing. Now, the other issue is that many people will try to give Rick Warren a pass. And they'll try to say, well, as long as his intention is good, then isn't that okay? If he truly believes that his peace plan is a wonderful thing for this world, and that all of his social programs are wonderful things for people, and he's helping people out, if he really thinks he's doing good, isn't that okay? No. The Bible says no. You have to be a hearer and a doer of the word, and not a hearer only, who then is self-deceived.
Yeah.
And those people, hearers only, are just described right there in the Matthew 7 text where the hearers only don't make it to heaven. So no, having good intentions, there used to be a saying back when I grew up, and they don't talk about it anymore. There used to be a saying in the old days where it said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah, yes, remember that.
Yes, yes.
They don't say that anymore.
Yes.
And so somebody like Rick Warren will fall into that category. If his intentions are good, which I do not believe they are, because he's been called on it many, many times, and then he has lied, he has misread scriptures, used multiple translations to get his point across. I mean, so no, I don't believe he gets a pass. Number one, he does know what he's doing. But even if he was self-deceived,
right,
that doesn't give you a pass either.
You know what? I don't feel sorry for him because he is an agent of, I was going to say Goldstein. I'm thinking about the movie 1984. But he's an agent of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is an agent of Satan. So I don't feel anything for this man. This man knows what the Bible truly teaches. I don't feel sorry for anybody that knows truly what the Bible teaches and turns against that Bible simply because of Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And Romans chapter 1, verse 18 will be enforced irregardless of what that person thinks. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against mm-hmm. all ungodliness. Rick Warren is full of ungodliness. So God's wrath will be coming upon him and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So God says, I'm going to rain down wrath on them. I don't feel sorry for them. I want God's justice to rain down on Rick Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what gets me. The people that are following him, so it's the people that's following him. It's the people that are not paying attention to scriptures. I have a friend of mine. His first name starts with T, and he got married. Mark, in your hometown.
Yes.
And he got married under the auspices of a female pastor. And when he came and spoke with me about that, he told me that the marriage has fallen apart. And I told him, I said, well, what do you suspect? It didn't get started right. It wasn't under God. You compromise yourself. Why would you expect that thing to really be a successful marriage? I said, God is not going to bless you, and you have just turned your back on what he said. And to this date, this man's life is in turmoil. So, you know, it's not the Rick Warrens, it's not the pastors, it's the people that supposedly have a Bible open in front of them.
Right,
you know.
Right, because you're putting yourself under that person.
Right.
And because you have an open Bible, you are supposed to look at that person
right.
in light of that scripture. Just like Paul said in Acts 26, 27, where the Bereans were more noble than the people in Thessalonica because yes. they searched the scriptures daily to see if they were so.
Right.
In other words, Paul said, they checked me out.
Right.
They looked at me in the Word of God. And so this takes us back to our Timothy text then, 1 Timothy 3:1, where it says, this is a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, and the Greek word for that is episkopos, which is an overseer. So
right.
a pastor or somebody who you are putting over you, who is overseeing you in the church, he desires a good work if he desires this office. A bishop then, and we with our open Bibles, need to look at the people who we are sitting under and say, am I sitting under somebody who qualifies?
You know,
is this person qualified?
People are sitting out there saying, Bob, people are sitting out there saying, wait a minute, Bob, you and John and Mark, y'all are nuts, the three stooges. How come he has to be a guy? Why can't she be a woman? Simply put, because of this. When you place yourself under a woman and crisis comes in your life, she's going to tell you what makes you feel good. She's going to tell you something that makes the situation resolve. A man would tell you the truth right in front of you and jump you if you try to jump him. He is not going to tell you what makes you feel good. He is going to tell you, like I tell men all the time, you're in sin altogether, debauch. and I don't even want to see your ugly, stupid face anymore. Do men you think a female pastor is going to talk to you like that?
Men will steer you into the friction. The female will steer you away from the friction.
Right, because she is, because that's why God never called them for the office. They don't have the guts enough to withstand a man. And if they do withstand a man, and a man tells that woman in that office to shut up, what is the first thing she's going to do? Start crying.
Right, exactly.
Because she's a woman. If the man cusses her out in her office and say, shut the blankety, blankety, blank up, it's going to be this way, she's going to call for the custodian to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a male pastor would just look at him and start laughing, say, you need to come back to your senses.
Well, and there have been many years now that I've been having you as my pastor.
Yeah.
And many occasions, and one is my own particular personal situation that I went through several years ago.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I brought this question to you and this issue and laid it before you, knowing that I was not going to have my ears tickled.
Right.
And knowing that you were probably going to tell me to do something that I didn't want to do.
Yes.
And certainly you came through. You told me.
I did.
Don't. You must do this. As much as you don't want to, you must do this.
Right.
If you fail to do this, you are failing to listen to my counsel.
Right.
You're under God's conviction for that, and you're going to mess up the rest of your life, and I've seen it over and over and over
right.
again.
Right.
Well, as a result, I did what you did.
Yes.
What you insisted I do, which was not pleasant for me.
Right.
It was quite turmoil. And yet, I knew before God that my bishop, who qualifies under these scriptures as my bishop, told me I must do this, or else I'm under God's conviction.
That's right.
So I did it, and it was painful, and I sweated it out, and now as a result, I've been blessed dramatically and tremendously, and I've seen, unfortunately, numerous examples in our congregation of the contrary, where people just don't heed the pastor's counsel.
It's theory over practice, man.
All I've seen is shipwreck.
Yes, a lot of shipwreck.
A lot of it.
The old ship of Zion sinking. See, we what do we do? What do we do for people like that? You can't do anything but watch them sink. Watch them sink. I'm not laughing at them. I'm just saying, well, how do you expect your life to get better if you make those kinds of choices?
I know one thing you can't do. You can't get emotional because of our ties to someone. I personally can't get emotional. I have to remember what my responsibility is and what I have to hold to instead of being emotional and thinking of old connections. I got to make sure that I'm connected to God on all circumstances so that I don't compromise myself and allow myself to drift to some other kind of thinking that takes me away from biblical thinking and makes me want to drift and stay connected and to beg and plead and do something outside of the character.
Let's talk about this when James talks about deceiving himself in verse 22 of James chapter 1. Brothers, what is this? What is this deceiving himself? MacArthur says in his commentary that it is a reasoning beside or alongside, as in beside oneself. I mean, the word is used in mathematics to refer to a miscalculation. See, when you deceive yourself, you've calculated that you think your life is going to be this way, but you've miscalculated it. And that's when you cannot have the joy of the Holy Spirit in your life when you have miscalculated. See, Bob, if you had done what you wanted to do, you would have been sensing that, oh, my God, why is this happening? Well, because you miscalculated it. Mm-hmm. You know, man, don't just do this. See, faith is doing what is impractical. Because it's not supposed to make you feel good.
Right, and it's not going to be what's expedient for you in this world.
Right.
In the workplace, and boy, Satan is good at it.
Yes.
But he puts things before you to make you say, am I going to do this the way the world does it?
Yes.
Or am I going to do this the way God insists that I do it?
Mm-hmm.
But financially, it's not going to be good for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to make, I mean, Satan does it in relationships. Satan does it, like I said, in business and world and jobs, promotions, all of these things where he's just asking you to compromise just a little bit. If you just kind of ignore that little conviction of the Holy Spirit here and set this aside, you know, you're gonna move forward. You're gonna do well. You're gonna get ahead. You're gonna, yeah, you know, all of these things that feed the flesh to where God just puts though, and that's why the Christian walk is no easy walk.
No, it is not easy. It is not easy.
Constantly, you're going to be pushed to grow.
It's not easy.
You're going to be pushed to grow. You're going to be pushed to
say when
to live without. To live without. You know, you're going to be just forced to take the more difficult road, because there's an easy road and there's a difficult road, and when Christ is telling you have to take the hard road, you only have one choice.
Amen. It's something John Fisher wrote a song years ago, and it says, taking the easy way is not the easy way. It went like this: taking the easy way isn't the easy way. Because you see, the easy way, you think it's going to be easy, but it just turns out to just blow up in your face, because taking the way of the cross is difficult. Denial, discipline, and duty. Jesus said, unless a man take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me, he said, he cannot be my disciple. Man, now, why is that scripture at the forefront of my brain? Because that is what makes Christianity work. It is not a Joel Osteen appearing on the Larry King show. What beautiful, but Bob got on a nice, beautiful tie. That's a nice tie. That is really a nice tie. But Osteen got you beat, man. Osteen wears some ties, boy. And Osteen goes on Larry King Live, and he just compromises it all the way. And then the people think that they can compromise because the pastor compromised. Osteen's not really a pastor.
Go ahead.
Verse 2 says, an overseer then must be above reproach. And let's deal with this. It says, the husband of one wife. What in the world? Now, come on now, stop. That means he can only be a man.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, if you're a Christian, and if you're talking to a cleric, and it's a female, you don't even have to listen to that person. As a matter of fact, the mere fact that you've submitted yourself to that person, and you call yourself a Christian, there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. There are no female chaplains. There are no female pastors. There really aren't. And then he says that this person has to be prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Well, how can you teach God's word if you're going to leave teaching off the first part of verse 2? The husband of one wife. I would love to hear a female pastor teach the husband. What does it mean when it says the husband of one wife? I would love to hear some teaching on that from a female that calls herself a bishop or a pastor. I want to be sitting in the room when she tackles that exegetically. See, friends, either throw this Bible away, chunk all of it, and live like the hell that you in right now, or accept it. And I'm not trying to make friends with you. I don't care if your mama is the pastor. She's out of her mind, and you out of your mind for following her. What you need to do is say, Mom, I wouldn't go anywhere where you pick up a Bible and try to preach. Because if God sends a lightning bolt, he may kill me along with your raunchy, disobedient self. But you won't talk with your own mother like that because you've compromised. All right, gentlemen, go ahead.
I want to get back to that point that you just made.
All right.
As far as what woman who is teaching the Word of God to you,
yeah,
what woman is